Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
They have no scruples. They're corrupt and immoral.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Hier ist wieder euer Sunday Service. Montagabend live von 22 bis 1 Uhr und in der Wiederholung dienstags von 9 bis 12 Uhr mittags. Heute haben wir wieder ein relativ volles Programm für euch.
Genau, und zwar zwei Interviews. Zum einen Studiogäste Ashby aus Boston, ein Duo. Zu denen kommen wir so in 10 Minuten, schätze ich mal. Die sind auch schon hier und lauschen gespannt. Dann ein Interview mit Escobar, der Band aus Schweden. Das schätze ich mal in der letzten Stunde. Und zwischendurch natürlich wie immer Konzerttipps und viele neue Musik.
Wer heute am Montagabend ins Hafenklang gehen wollte zu Unwound, der kann getrost zu Hause bleiben und braucht nicht mehr in dieses grausige Wetter hinauszugehen, weil das Konzert nämlich leider ausfällt. Also kein Unwound im Hafenklang. So, der Titel, den wir gerade gehört hatten, hieß From the South und war von der Band Beach Buggy. Keine Ahnung, wo die genau herkommen. Ich habe von denen noch nichts gehört, aber auf jeden Fall wurde diese Single von Steve Albini produziert. Etwas ungewöhnlich, finde ich.
Weiter geht's mit Musik, die auch aus Amerika kommt, aus Kalifornien. Zwar Figurine heißt die Band, ein Trio. The Heartfelt heißt ihr Album und das Ganze ist bei einem Berliner Label rausgekommen, nämlich Lock Musik. Das Stück heißt Rewind.
Frequency.
Fading, I'm tired.
Das sind also Figurine mit dem Stück Rewind. Spielen auch live, allerdings nicht in Hamburg, sondern in Berlin, und zwar am 17. November.
Das Phänomen Britpop ist ja schon längst zu Grabe getragen worden. Es gibt aber allerdings immer noch einige Bands, die aus deren Hochphase versuchen zu schöpfen, beziehungsweise immer noch weiterleben, wie zum Beispiel Shed Seven, die haben eine neue Single draußen und Patrick meint, das ist eine echte Überraschung. Hier kommt Shed Seven mit Step Inside Your Love. Naja, wenn ihr mich fragt, geht so, das waren also Shed Seven mit Step Inside Your Love, neue Single von den Jungs.
Ja, Großheit, wie ich finde, aber da scheiden sich ja die Geister hier beim Sunday Service. So, wir begrüßen jetzt unsere Studiogäste, das sind Evelyn und Bill von der Band Ashby aus Boston. Hello, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, nice that you're here in Hamburg. You're here for a couple of interviews in Germany.
Correct, yes.
Yes.
And how was it so far?
Very nice. Yeah. We really like it here. We feel very comfortable and everyone's been very friendly. So it's been good, yeah.
Okay. Your first time in Germany or?
Actually, no. This is not my first time in Germany. I the very first time I went to Europe, I came to Hamburg, in fact, when I was 16 years old. So this is, in fact, my third time to Hamburg.
Okay.
It's your spiritual home?
My spiritual home. But first time for William, I think. Yeah.
Yes, first time in Hamburg. And yeah, very nice. We really had a good time.
It reminds us a lot of Boston, actually.
Yeah.
Kind of northern city on a port. So we do feel at home here. Yeah. It's been good.
Okay. I think we should listen to a song of you, and then we can talk about the music.
Great.
Das Album von Ashby heißt Power Ballads, kommt bei dem Hamburger Label Marina Records raus, und das Stück, was wir hören, heißt West Coast Town. Hier kommt Ashby.
Wir hörten Ashby mit dem Song West Coast Town, und Ashby sind bei uns hier beim Sunday Service Live im Studio. So what does the mean? Does your name mean Ashby? Is it just a name, or do you refer to something special?
Well, I think we refer to a few things. Firstly, we just like the name because it's sort of one word, and we liked having one word. It's kind of pop, but it relates to the director Hal Ashby. I don't know if you're familiar with him. We've been learning that a lot of Germans know the film Harold and Maude, but we like him for the film Shampoo, and he's sort of a quirky director. And also, Ashby is the name of this musician named Dorothy Ashby, who is a jazz harpist and quite obscure. Maybe Bill could tell a little bit more about Dorothy Ashby.
The name doesn't mean anything or refer to anything. It can mean a few things, you know. I think that it doesn't tie into one thing. It could be Hal Ashby. If people remember Hal Ashby, if people think of this other musician, Dorothy Ashby, then that's fine. If it's just a nice name, that's good too. Those people are sort of appealing to us because they are, you know, slightly offbeat. You know, this guy was making movies in Hollywood, and he was a real individual. Those movies were strange, and this woman was an older black woman playing harp, a classical instrument, and she was making funk records and playing in jazz with bebop players. It's, you know, that's kind of appealing to us. I don't think we really fit into rock music very comfortably, so if that makes sense, then that's fine. But if it's just a nice name, then that's okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Evelyn, you're Native American. You're born in Boston?
Yes, I'm born in Boston.
Bill's from Scotland.
Yes, we have to break that secret. So yeah.
How do you meet each other? I mean,
well, we met in the States. We met in Boston. Bill was over working illegally.
No, it was legally at first, and then it became illegal.
Then it became illegal.
Actually, is the U.S. Government going to hear this?
I hope not.
Well, be quiet.
Okay.
Probably not.
And that's how we met, and Bill emigrated to Boston. And
We had to decide, are we going to live in Scotland or America, and so we went for America.
Mm-hmm. And how did the music started to play together? Or,
well, we had always played music, but separately. I had always done different things. Bill had always done different things. And about 2 years ago, we decided, why don't we do something together? Because we both like the same things. And I thought Bill was such a great drummer. We said, this is silly. You know, we've got to do something. And so we did, and this is the product.
Yeah,
basically.
We had to come together musically for it to happen. And I think for a long time, we were not close enough musically, I think. Mm-hmm. Evelyn is a very much pop person. And I used to be a bit of a jazz snob. Used to look down my nose and that kind of thing. But I always in my heart loved good pop, and when I heard Evelyn writing good pop songs, then that appealed to me, and I became less of a snob. Got bored with jazz. No, I still like it, but I always liked pop that had some interesting harmonic elements, and when I heard Evelyn write some good songs, I thought, then that's it, that's interesting, let's do it. So we decided to do it. And here we are.
And here we are in Hamburg.
So what about your previous projects in music? Can you tell us something about that?
It wasn't anything like Ashby. I literally started writing songs maybe 4 years ago. I'd always written stuff, but never put it in a band. So I was always in other people's bands. And I suppose the best known thing is I was sort of a session keyboardist. I would go on tour with people and play keyboards or sing backup. Mm-hmm. And last year I played with a guy named Jack Drag, who, I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah.
Oh, you've heard?
Mm-hmm.
And we went on tour in Britain, and I was just the keyboard player, and it was really fun. It was a great experience, but, you know, it wasn't my music, and this is the first time I've done my music, which is really exciting and great. And I think Bill has been in.
Well,
the
I was
band.
Watching. I was watching from the outside. Evelyn was getting involved with music and starting to meet with musicians in Boston and get known in the scene. And it was pretty funny. She joined a band that had been established in Boston for a long time, and she just joined as a keyboard player. They wanted to fill out their sound, get an organ sound. And when she joined the band, they asked her to maybe, do you have any songs? Maybe you can contribute. So when she contributed her first couple of songs, the band split up about 2 months later, because the guy realized, the person who wrote all the music before realized these songs were so much better than his songs. It was the end of the band. And they split up, and that was the end of them. So then that was when I had to step in.
Right.
To replace
Bill,
that band.
You must play drums.
Yeah, that was it. I'm just going to break up every band I join.
Right.
Okay.
Vielleicht wollen wir uns was von diesem Songwriting-Talent nochmal anhören. Und zwar noch ein Song von Ashby, der heißt Trip 66.
Too slow. What he doesn't know won't hurt him. I flip that, push it to the limit. Oh yeah, I wanna see how fast I can go. The road goes on for, I've forgotten how far, level for 1,000 miles. There's only so much more time before we cross the next state line. I'd like to tell you.
Das war ein Ashby hier live bei uns im Studio beim Sunday Service. Bill, when you're from Scotland, aren't you influenced by Scottish pop music from the 80s, the well-known?
I think for what we do now, no. I don't think so. I don't think what we're doing is reflecting that. And if it's happening, it's happening unconsciously. So I think that I don't write the music, so really the music is a reflection of the songwriter. And I suppose that if you hear any element that is of mine, that comes into the production. And I don't know. Do you think it sounds like 80s Scottish pop music?
No. That's why I'm wondering, because there are no influences in this way, I think.
So I guess no, the answer would be no.
Yeah.
But talking about influences, some people say Ashby reminds them of Saint-Étienne or of Sien Craig with the female voice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any references to this kind of bands?
Definitely, and I would say it's probably because we share the same type of instrumentation, vibes, keyboards, acoustic guitars.
We don't listen to those bands.
Yeah, we don't listen to those bands. And female vocals, of course. I think when you have a female vocalist, you're always going to be lumped in with these bands, and that's just a fact of life. But
if we're compared to people that we think are good, that's great.
That's great, yeah.
That's fine. We have to be compared to... It's inevitable, if we're compared to somebody we really didn't like, we'd be upset. But we feel like those people are our fellow travelers. They're our pop brothers, so you know,
kindred spirits.
We're from that kind of family,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
definitely.
So Evelyn, what kind of music have you socialized with in your childhood? Or
well, my parents were very much of the 60s generation,
yeah.
Meaning Beatles and Bob Dylan and the band. And so I know it's horrible to say, I grew up with those sort of guitar influences. And ironically, I never grew up with sort of the stuff I really love now, sort of the Brazilian and Ennio Morricone and more sort of classic pop was not really in, I didn't grow up with that. Definitely the more traditional rock 60s bands, I would say.
Mm.
My parents probably didn't even like that type of music. To them, the music that I really like, they sort of think is square. And I don't know if you know this term, elevator music.
Yeah.
So when they heard that I was they really liked the album, but when they heard that I was going to get strings and flutes, I think they were slightly worried. But
they think Burt Bacharach is a swear word.
Exactly. they're just from that generation.
I found some albums in Evelyn's parents' house that obviously Evelyn was playing with as a child, and one of them was the Rolling Stones cover with the
sticky fingers.
Trousers and the zipper in the middle you could play, and there was a drawing on it, so it was obviously like a toy for a child.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of my first album memory, yeah.
Okay. You have a string arrangement on one of the songs.
Correct.
Of your album. It's done by David Scott,
mm-hmm.
from the Pearlfishers. How do you know him? Because of the label Marina Records?
Definitely. The label introduced us, and we heard his last album, Through the Milky Way, and I've always liked the way he used strings and horns, and I've always wanted to have a string arrangement on one song. I'd love to have a whole album of string arrangements, but it was suggested that he might help us, and...
it's somebody from the same family, you know, we don't that was something that was very attractive. The Pearlfishers are a little different to what we do, but we're working with the same sort of harmonics, mm-hmm. and the same sort of chords and similar backgrounds, so it was very interesting. And it was also a bit of a gamble because we never ever met this guy. We've never met him, and we made a string arrangement on this record together across the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
We sent tapes, he recorded and sent tapes back to us, and we fit it all together. So that was fun. And he's a great guy. No, he has no ego. He's purely in it for the music, and that really reflected. So that was a very good experience.
Sounds good, yeah. We'll listen to another song of your record. It's called, how is it called?
Continuity. Thank you.
Continuity ist der Song von der Gruppe Ashby. I have a question about one of the credits. They have the Point Moog Maintenance by two guys, David White and David Wilson, from the New England Synthesizer Museum.
Mm-hmm.
So what means Moog Maintenance and what is the New England Synthesizer Museum?
Well, we have a lot of Moogs, a lot of old keyboards, and they require a lot of maintenance. They break down a lot because they're so old. And I will give the story over to Bill. He knows these two guys quite well. They won't meet me because I'm a girl.
They're scared of women. They only like keyboards, actually.
Right. So Bill deals with these two Davids.
Yeah, they're real, amazing, interesting guys. They're pretty crazy, and they collect and fix and sell these old synthesizers from the 60s and the 70s. And they're really great characters. They're slightly crazy, and they're surrounded by tons and tons of equipment piled up as high as you can see, and you can barely move in their place. There's just all these keyboards. But we need them because almost every month one of our synthesizers breaks down. We'd like to be able to go out and buy some new keyboards, but they just don't sound as good.
No.
The old synthesizers are so great, and they're so wonderful, but they're really organic instruments, and they're not perfect. And I think that's why they sound so good, is because they're not perfect. They're not a sampler. They're a real instrument.
Mm. Where do you get them from, the old synthesizers?
Well, we buy them from those guys. They're able to find the good stuff, and when you buy from them, they'll always promise to fix them if anything happens. So, they're a pain, but they're worth having. They sound great. They have a roughness in them.
And a warmth. Mm. And there were times during the making of this album where we'd be ready to use a synthesizer and it would break down.
Here we go again.
Call David.
And they would rescue us. So they deserve a credit.
Yes.
And they have a real museum which you can visit.
You can go and they're very nice, and a lot of electronic musicians go and visit their place. You can sample the sounds from these very rare electronics, so they can sample the sounds, bass sounds, and so a lot of people who make techno, that kind of thing, they sample the sounds of these very unique sounding keyboards and take them home, and it's all for free, of course. There's no money involved. They're just doing it for the love of the funk.
And where is this place?
It's actually in a state called New Hampshire.
Yeah,
it's out in the middle of the countryside. It's completely crazy. And you have to make an appointment to go and visit it. It's very funny. And these guys are very eccentric. And
they're slightly paranoid.
Yeah, they're definitely slightly crazy.
Yes.
But you would have to be to do this. But we really love that, and they know that we appreciate it. And so they enjoy working with us.
Okay.
Bill, you even produced the soul album. Do you have a studio of your own, or?
Yeah, we built our own studio. We decided to do that. We've been collecting these old keyboards, and we have also a grand piano, a Steinway grand piano in our house. So we couldn't, if we went to a studio, we couldn't really take that to the studio with us. So we decided to make the studio at home, and we have a room in our house. Basically, our album it's a homemade album.
Yeah, I can imagine if you have a studio of your own at home with all different kinds of instruments, it's an advantage because you can experiment more.
Definitely.
With doing the songs. But how does it work on stage when you're playing live?
Well, that's a problem that has to be addressed at some point. We have to think how we're going to do this. So,
I guess at the moment you could
any suggestions?
You could label us a studio act right now. Hopefully we would love to perform live. It would just have to be, it'd have to be the right circumstances, and it'd have to be the right sound. If it was just the two of us playing live, it could be really boring, the two of us.
Yeah, we'd like to make it exciting to watch as well. Just not two people over two keyboards and nothing
bunch
to look
samplers,
at.
Bunch of samplers, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, we'd like to maybe make it interesting. I think rock bands are fun to watch sometimes, jumping around with guitars and smashing up their instruments. We can't really do that with our stuff. It's too expensive. They're too old. We would be broken up. So we have to try and find some other people to come in with us, I think. But yeah, I mean, maybe we can do a stripped down version of it. We just have to figure it out. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
Mm. But we definitely would like to perform.
We would love to perform, yeah.
If it's possible.
So you haven't played before?
No.
Not these songs, other people's songs, just...
We play at home in our studio for our cats. That's our audience. If they don't like something, they leave the room, which is usually most songs.
Okay, sounds good. Dann noch Fragen?
Oh, I have one last question about the music scene in Boston. Is there any kind of a music scene or...
I would say it's a scene dominated by guitar bands, and that's probably all I should say.
Yeah, it's a rock town.
It's a rock town.
It's rocking.
Is it still rock town?
It's still rock
it's
town.
It's rocking. I think it's destined to always be a rock town.
I noticed walking around, there's been signs for a band called American Hi-Fi, and they're from Boston, so... Yeah, that sums it up.
We saw them at a party once.
Yes.
They looked cool.
Right.
They had
so
good haircuts.
That's the Boston scene. And Aerosmith, of course, is the quintessential Boston band. Yeah.
There's nobody else like us.
Right.
And if there is, we don't know about them.
Right.
But
so.
Yeah, we're definitely outside.
Outsiders.
We're outside the mix.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, there were a lot of well-known bands like Three Muses and the Pixies and Dinosaur, Sabado, or Lubalo.
Very good bands too. Yeah,
Lemonheads.
Lemonheads.
But that
course.
Was like 10 years ago.
But that was really a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think there's all these bands who are trying to emulate that, and it's not happening.
Yeah. It hasn't moved on.
It hasn't moved on.
And all those people have actually left Boston, so now you know, I think it has to regenerate and change. But I don't know. Maybe Boston will always be a rockin' town.
Mm.
But it's fine with us. Yeah. We don't want to be a part of the rock scene anyway. It makes no sense.
So perhaps you'll start to build a new scene, don't know.
Yes.
Pop music scene.
Hopefully.
In Boston will be big in a couple of years and you were the first one.
Right,
who knows?
Ashby.
Right.
Actually, we're maybe in Hamburg. We'll start a new scene here. I've heard that Hamburg is rocking as well. So
Depends.
Depends.
A little
right.
bit.
Yeah.
Ja, ich würde sagen, thank you for coming here to the show. And we're gonna listen to your last song of Ashby. And
right, also die Platte nochmal hieß Power Ballads und wir hören von Ashby nochmal das sehr schöne Stück Slip Away.
Oh.
I wanna
Das waren also nochmal Ashby mit ihrem Titel Slip Away. Und wie gesagt, ihre neue Platte Power Ballads ist am 22. Oktober bei Marina Records erschienen und dürfte überall erhältlich sein.
Es geht weiter beim Sunday Service mit Musik, bevor wir gleich zu den Konzerttipps kommen. Und als nächstes nochmal für euch auflegen die Beachwood Sparks, eine Band aus Amerika, die so 60er beeinflusste Popmusik machen. Once We Were Trees, das ist ihr zweites Album, welches diese Tage auf Sub Pop erscheint. Und ist ganz großartig, dieses Werk. Wir hören das Stück You Take the Gold. Hier kommen die Beachwood Sparks. Beachwood Sparks waren das mit dem Song You Take the Gold, übrigens aufgenommen im Studio von Jay Maskis. Die haben sich irgendwie mal beim Biertrinken kennengelernt und dann ja, kam es dazu, dass sie sich in seinem Haus getroffen haben und dort rumgejammt haben und bei 2-3 Tracks spielt dann Jay Maskis auch ein bisschen Gitarre dabei. Das waren also die Beachwood Sparks.
Hört man das dann auch, dass das Jay Maskis an der Gitarre ist?
Es gibt so 1-2 Songs, wo es ein bisschen gniedeliger wird. Ich weiß aber nicht genau, ob das die beiden sind.
Nun gut, wir machen weiter mit den Gruppen Juno und The Dismemberment Plan. Die beiden Bands sind gerade auf Deutschland-Tournee, allerdings führt ihr Weg sie nicht nach Hamburg, welches sehr schade ist, aber es gibt eine Tour-Single sozusagen, wo 2 Stücke jeweils von den Bands drauf ist und wir hören von Juno nun den Song Non-Equivalence.
Break!
Ja, leicht emotionaler Rock, würden viele sagen. Das waren also Juno mit Non-Equivalents.
So, Modest Mouse, denke ich mal, kennen die meisten von euch. Das sind Isaac Brook, Jamiria Green und Eric Judy. Die kommen aus Seattle und sind früher mal so ein bisschen im Fahrwasser von Bill to Spill gefahren. Immer im Vorprogramm von der Band mit auf Tour gewesen und unter deren Fittichen so ein bisschen protegiert worden. Und haben sich aber dann im Laufe der Zeit doch ganz gut lösen können von Bill to Spill. Es gibt eine neue Platte von Modest Mouse, bisher nur als Import erhältlich. Und die heißt Everywhere and His Nasty Parlor Tricks. Und die ist so ein bisschen langweilig, muss man sagen. Da sind ein paar Instrumentals drauf, die überflüssig sind. Ein Song ist auch recycelt worden, der ist irgendwie schon alt. Und Modest Mouse müssen aufpassen, dass sie nicht genauso in diesen langweiligen Fahrwasser kommen wie auch Bill to Spill, würde ich sagen.
Was mich aber auch gar nicht so unbedingt wundert, weil ich fand nämlich auch, dass ihr letztes Album The Moon and Antarctica wirklich bei weitem überschätzt wurde. Und also meine Lieblingsplatte von Modest Mouse immer noch The Lonesome Crowded West, genau.
Ja, oder die Sachen davor sind auch nicht schlecht. Aber wir hören ein Stück jetzt von der neuen Modest Mouse, was auch so ein bisschen der Hit ist da drauf, hier, The Good Things.